Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Acts, the book of Acts chapter 12. I'm on this new series here called The God of the Second Chance, and we're talking here about how, again, God in his mercy and grace will as many times let us go through things in life sometimes, or we go through things ourselves by our own choice sometimes as well, where God will show up and God will bring forth a second chance for us, knowing that the plan he has for our lives is still intact. And he will not go and will not leave us nor forsake us, but he will allow us sometimes to go on some detours. But in those detours, even there, God will teach us some things that will be a blessing to our lives. I want to speak this morning here about a heart like Barnabas. We're going to talk about Barnabas a lot in this message today. And I want you to understand again that what we're talking about here also is that God is going to sometimes allow us again to be in a place and a time where he's talked to us by his Spirit. He's given us a very, very strong word, a very strong directive thing to do. But we sometimes question what God has said to us and find ourselves not obeying God right away. An example of that in my own life was back about in the 1980s, our very first trip to South Africa. It requires a visa to get into South Africa for Americans. And even though I was married to Cheryl at the time, we were newlyweds, married for a few months, and then going to the country there for the first time to meet her family and do some ministry, I still had to have a visa myself, so I had applied for it, I'd mailed off for it, the thing was in the mail, and our airplane was going to take off, I believe, on a Monday morning. It was now on a Wednesday night. I still have not received my visa or my passport back yet. The plane takes off on Monday. Okay, so I'm sitting there during praise and worship time and during the service on Wednesday night at Faith Chapel Church in Wichita, Kansas, on that evening. The Spirit of God began to speak to me in kind of a real small, kind of a light voice and said, go to Kansas City today and go get your passport, go apply for that visa to get done in an expedited fashion. Well, I thought to myself and said, you know, it's a three-hour drive there, a three-hour drive back. It's a whole lot of time and effort. I'm not really sure I'm hearing what God's saying. Surely this thing will be here on time. The voice comes back the second and the third time, louder and louder. Go tomorrow to Kansas City and get your visa, get your passport expedited there. It's important to do that. And so I went ahead and I didn't understand all the reasons for this. I got in the car next morning with Cheryl. We find ourselves driving to the embassy in Kansas City for South Africa. Got that thing expedited there, got it done. And they told us, if you'd not come today, we actually are closed for the holidays on the Friday and the weekend. You would have not received your visa on time had you not made this trip to be here. So all of our whole plan, also our ticket to fly there, was non-refundable and non-changeable, which is very, very strict back in the 1980s especially. And the whole thing would have just been scrapped and put on the shelf. And all the things that God did for us in very, very sovereign type ways in South Africa would never have happened had we not made that airplane flight and made that trip that day. What I'm saying is, again, it's time for us ourselves to say, are there some loose ends in my life that God has been speaking to me about that he wants to tie up and make sure those things do take place and do happen, because there's important things that God will do from that. It might be a simple thing like paying somebody back a loan that you owe them. Maybe you borrowed something from your neighbor or for a friend. It's time to give that item back to them once again. It might be time to also go ahead and repent of a sin. Repent of something you've done that's been a shortcoming inside your life that God convicts you about. It might even be, again, things you neglect that God has said to do in times past. You just neglect those things, put them on the back shelf, and you're not taking time to do them. And God is saying it's time to refocus on those things perhaps once again, because the good news is God's a God of the second chance. I don't want to see us getting stuck in our walk with God. And I found that God will not give us the next thing to do until we first obey the first thing that God has said to do. God does not let loose ends stay around. God says, first do what I told you in the first place. Once I see you obey and do that, I will then give you instructions beyond that once you obey the first thing I said to do in your life. We're going to also talk about this morning the very fact that revelation equals responsibility. You might want to write that thing down. Revelation equals responsibility. It means when God reveals something to us, we are now responsible to do what God has told us to do. Many folks want to receive knowledge. They don't want to act on that knowledge. And God says, faith without works is dead. When God gives us a revelation about something, it means God says also, now go beyond revelation, go beyond the knowledge there, and now actually put feet and put your mouth and put actions behind what I've revealed to you to do upon the earth. One example of this also is where God lays somebody on your heart and you say, well, it must be time to call the pastor or call the youth pastor or call the elders or call the leaders in the church, because God's put somebody on my heart and it's time to reach out to folks in the church here. They're in responsibility there. Let them go reach them. And God is saying no. And I put someone on your heart. It's up to you to reach out to them yourself. If I wanted you to have someone else reach out to them, I'll make that really plain to you. But normally, when God puts someone on your heart to think about, to pray about, God is saying it's time also to reach out to them and contact them. We're in a time and a season right now at Tree of Life Church as well, like all churches across the world, to realize we really are our brother's keeper. Amen? The folks in the body of Christ, the Bible says we are the body of Christ, fitly joined together, every joint, every branch, supplying life to itself by the many members of the body of Christ. And so revelation is also equal to responsibility. So if God puts somebody in your heart in a dream or a thought, it probably means that they are ripe to receive a phone call or a contact or an actual visit from you, because God is dealing with their hearts. And what you have inside of you is just what they need in their time of need. Amen? So again, not just the leaders, the elders of the church are to be contacted there and say, you go do that. God is saying, no, you go do that. You make the contact and you see what God will do as I open your mouth up, open your heart up, and reach out to them with my love and my help working through you. The flip side of this also is that sometimes God will give you a person like a Barnabas, because Barnabas was a peacemaker. Barnabas was an apostle who was actually a mediator. He was a guy that would take folks in trouble and join them back with folks who were not in trouble, who were healthy, and say, you guys get back together once again for God's purpose to get revealed and manifest in your life. So sometimes God does reveal a Barnabas to you to lead somebody to, that they may get involved in their lives. For example, some folks that are they're very, very deeply involved in, let's say, an addictive drug. You may have a Barnabas-type person who God delivered them from drug addiction. It might be exactly the right person to reach out to that individual and by their own experience can help them out effectively and see them set free. Amen? So sometimes God will put a person on your heart that may be a Barnabas, but I'm saying most of the time, God has put them on your heart for you to reach out to them. Reach out and touch someone. Amen, in Jesus' name. It's time for the body of Christ to come alive and realize we are all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? We all have our part to play in God's kingdom. We need each other in this work called the kingdom of God. Amen? So praise God. You're not responsible for their reactions when you go to them, but you are responsible for your obedience when God talks to you and puts somebody on your heart. Amen? So let's read now Acts chapter 12. We're introduced here to a young man whose name is John Mark. John Mark's mother led him to Jesus. He's born again. He's saved. He's spirit-filled now. In Acts chapter 12, verse 25, it says here, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark." This is like the opportunity of a lifetime for this young man. This young man's going with some heavy hitters, some major league baseball players. These guys, this is Paul the Apostle, and this is a guy named Barnabas as well. Major apostles inviting him as a young rookie convert to come and be discipled, mentored, and see what God does through them in all the towns they go to. He sees them do miracles, healings, doctrines, teachings, ministries, debates, all these things they're doing. John Mark observes all these things, and he's growing in leaps and bounds in the things of God as he does this. But the problem is, I heard a very, very powerful thing that I agree with on Friday night. The message came from our Hispanic brother who was here from, I think, South Texas, on the authority of the believers. And he said, the scripture in the Bible we all know by heart that are charismatic type people, is the Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. He asked a theologian one day, does that mean that there's going to always be demonic warfare around us doing violent things against the people of God that are obeying what God says? Or does it mean that we are believers to take and do things actively and aggressively against the powers of darkness and believe that in Jesus' name, every demonic power must flee and tremble at the name of Jesus Christ because they've been conquered? And the theologian said, yes, it means both. It means we have authority over the powers of Satan. It also means Satan will resist us every time we threaten his kingdom. This happens right here in Acts chapter 12 because the Bible says, as they go through Jerusalem and other cities and so forth, and John Mark sees all the ministry, they all of a sudden, the honeymoon time for John Mark comes to an end. I want to tell you guys again, I want to remind you, anytime you put yourself involved in a ministry, whether it's head usher, head greeter, head or worship team member, whatever else, you are going to be threatening Satan's kingdom somehow, some way, and he'll try to find a weak area of your life to bring temptation to you and try and take you out and discourage you if he can do that. John Mark sees that himself. He's on the honeymoon period. Good things take place all around him, but all of a sudden they come to a place, Acts chapter 13, verse 10, where it seems like all hell breaks loose and a strong demonic force is right now being reckoned with successfully by Paul the Apostle, and it brings forth a repercussion in the mind of John Mark. Acts 13, 10 says, this demon person was called Bar-Jesus. He was called a sorcerer. He was called a false prophet. He was in a place called Paphos. This man is so possessed by the devil, he's so controlled by Satan, that Paul prophesies and Paul discerns the demon in him and says these words in verse 10 of Acts chapter 13. He says this, O you who is full of all deceit, all fraud, you son of the devil, not a good name, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? He's talking not in lies, he's not exaggerating here, he's not lying here, he's speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's saying exactly what he sees in that man's life, that Bar Jesus, who's a sorcerer, who's now trying to twist the proconsul, the main guy, the main leader of this city here. He's trying to twist his mind against Paul and against Barnabas and against the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the sad fact was, if this sorcerer can get the mind of the leader of his city to agree with him, he'll reject the gospel of Jesus Christ and cause tens of thousands to never know Jesus in that area. So it's a very, very important battle going on right now. The backlash was, though, the result was spiritual warfare takes place. And the Bible says here, Paul was successful. And it says the proconsul was so impressed by the anointing of God's Spirit upon Paul's words, he turned to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the Bible says God struck the sorcerer with blindness and a mist came over his face and God took him out of the whole situation that was there. That brought a great backlash to John Mark. I believe right there, as we are starting to see between the lines here, the attack of the devil, Satan did not like what he saw take place here. He goes to the weakest vessel, the weakest link, to John Mark, and begins messing with his mind. And I believe somehow fear came in, intimidation came in, something came into John Mark's mind that says, this devil is too big, this God is just too small here, the warfare is too great, it is time to turn and it's time to run. Let's read now Acts chapter 13, verse 13, it says, now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John Mark departed from them and returned back to Jerusalem. You got to realize again, God gives all of us honeymoon periods of great victories and so forth in ministry and serving him in whatever way you serve him, but there will be a backlash take place in your life. Amen? The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. Okay, so John Mark walks away from the people of God that God puts in his life, unfortunately. He walks away from the will of God for his life. He walks away from the call of God in his life. He even walks away from Jesus Christ in his life. Do you know anybody yourself today who's walked away from God, walked away from God's people, walked away from God's will in their lives? Do you know someone like that? The good news is God is the God of the second chance. And we're going to see in this story here how John Mark, this does not define the rest of his life. Good things happen for John Mark down the road, but he goes through some real strict lessons in this part of his life. Maybe you're here today yourself for the first time in a long time at a local church like this. Maybe you have not been in a local church like this for months or maybe even a couple of years. Maybe you guys are also finding yourself, some folks that are here today, going to churches like this more sporadically, once a month, once every 2 weeks, once every 3 weeks, once every 6 weeks. Those are all signs that somehow your heart is somehow drifting perhaps away from that sincere, pure devotion and love for Jesus Christ. I found that all folks who really love God, on fire for God, want to be with the people of God. They want to praise and worship God together like this. They try to find ways to be in local churches, not try to find ways to be out of them. Amen? Is that true? A few folks believe that. Amen. So, you're here today that you might serve the God, though, of the second chance. God wants to bring us back into close fellowship with the one he's known in times past. We must ask ourselves two real questions this morning. Those two questions, number one is this. Is my affection for Jesus Christ the same today as the day I gave my life to him and became a born-again believer in Jesus Christ? Also, is there any conviction in my heart by the Holy Spirit when I sin? When I sin, is there a grieving or a check or a kind of a pain or a thump in my chest when I sin? If the answer is no to those questions, it might be time for a heart check. It might be time for revival. It might be time for renewal and a fresh outpouring of God's Spirit in your life. Once again, amen? This means a new decision and saying, I decide, I choose to follow Jesus Christ and return back to my first love once again. You might be here today thinking about quitting or knowing someone yourself who wants to quit. The reason people quit on God or on people of God or the will of God or for various reasons. The most common reasons people tend to quit or give up or go on by the wayside, number one is money. Lack of money or too much money. Proverbs says, oh God, the prayer is, oh God, give me not too much money lest I forget who you are because I find myself becoming self-sufficient by the increase of funds in my life. I have no need of what God can give me now because I have enough in my savings account and my future is secure. I am financially independent. I don't really need God anymore as far as money is concerned. The other side says, oh God, let me have enough money lest I find myself being a thief and stealing on the face of the earth. And through that, I get guilt and condemnation that makes me not want to come to places like this because the guilt and condemnation is too big about things I've done this week to steal money. Also, it can be relationships. Those also cause folks to sometimes quit on God. Sometimes females, women, pick a young man or an older man whose heart is not for God. That guy is doing things you did in your old backslidden state or your pre-Jesus state. And because they're doing things you did back and loved years ago, they're dragging you back into the same mud and mire again in your life. Or females to men, men to females, works both ways. Amen. And so God says relationships can also drag you away and cause you to want to quit on the will of God, the plan of God, the people of God in your life. And you'll find your spirit man getting weaker and weaker and your love for God waxing colder and colder. It's very important who we pick to be our friends and relationships. Amen? Because iron sharpens iron. Sometimes college, university does it. Our universities are full right now of secular humanistic teachings and thoughts. And 80% of all of our Christian young people today that are going to American universities are totally quitting every local church in our nation. 80% are falling away because they're seeing their liberal theology. They're seeing their secular humanism. They're seeing their false doctrines and lies by great vocabulary doctorate educated people who sound wise and sound learned and have got the right speech coming out of their mouths as far as their vocabulary goes, but their doctrines are of demons many times. And many of our youth are facing tremendous temptations to buy into the liberal theology and the humanistic secular theology that's going on today because of our college, university teachers, professors are themselves soaked in that for the most part and are putting that in their minds hour after hour after hour to get their degrees. College can do that to people, unfortunately. Some folks walk away from church. They walk away from churches like this. They say that I have a hard time, I'm finding, submitting any kind of spiritual authority in my life. Many folks are quitting churches because they cannot submit to spiritual authorities that God places. Wherever they go at, they find themselves butting heads with the authorities in that place. Those same folks probably were butting heads at their workplace, at their family reunions and so forth and so forth. Where they meet authority at, they're butting heads with authority in their lives. And God is saying that needs to be broken out of our lives. Amen? We don't need domineering, controlling dictators, but we do need people set in by God, anointed, appointed by God, to be spiritual authorities in this nation. Amen? You believe that? Okay. Also, the last thing is here, some folks are playing with sin. And sin will cause your heart to become cold and become distant. Have you ever seen a person in the newspaper who got a young cub bear or a lion as a cub and raised and bottle fed that little lion, and it grew and it grew and it grew into adulthood? Then one day, by surprise, that lion turns on the owner and takes his life, or almost kills him, and attacks him. And they said, well, what in the world here? I held the lion, I fed the lion, I cared for the lion, I loved the lion, and now the lion's turning on me and trying to kill me. They don't realize it is a lion. It's not a beagle, a cocker spaniel, or a cat. It is a lion. Lions will take and attack you and try to kill you. That's just their nature, okay? And so God is saying to us, sin is exactly the same way. When sin grows up, it will kill you. It will turn on you. It'll be pleasurable for a season. It'll be real nice and real good and desirable for a season. As a baby, it'll be okay, it seems like. But it will grow up, and it will turn on you and eat your lunch every time. Amen? I want to say again, sin takes you further than you want to go, makes you pay a price higher than you want to pay, and brings more destruction to your life than you realize you can do. Sin must be avoided. Amen? Maybe you're also here today, and you're thinking about quitting, or know someone else who has quit in their own lives, and you're saying to yourself, what can I do today to have the Holy Spirit come inside of my life and bring some truth to me? I don't want to quit any longer in my life. We're going to look now at Acts chapter 15. Paul and Barnabas, they felt bad that John Mark left them. But the Bible says they go ahead anyway with their mission. And they say, we know what God has called us to do. And though John Mark is out of the will of God, has left us, we will still keep on doing the will of God. They go ahead, they have fruitful ministry, Acts 13, Acts 14, Acts 15. Miracles, signs, wonders, breakthroughs, demons cast out, doctrines released, churches planted, churches strengthened. God does great things through them. Then Acts chapter 15 comes up to verse 36, and a twist and a turn, an explosive thing takes place that brings a bad result. The Bible says that Paul and Barnabas have a fight, and the fight's very bad. And Acts 15:36 says, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted they should not take him or with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them in the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. Barnabas felt that Mark, John Mark, had something still in him that was worth investing in, and he would not leave him. He wanted to see him brought back, mentored back into what God's will was and God's plan was for his life. Barnabas could not get John Mark off his mind. He realized and knew that revelation equals responsibility. If God puts John Mark on my mind, if God reveals to me John Mark's giftings, callings, and future, I cannot desert him. I must do all I can to make sure that the plan that God has for his life will come to pass. Because he will influence many people for God's kingdom if he can just get back on track once again. He felt that God was not finished with him. He knew revelation again equals responsibility. What if our church, Tree of Life Church, would also believe that God is the God of the second chance? For any person that you might know that yourselves are going totally off the rails, but God, his Spirit, still draws them to himself once again. And God is saying, you may be the person I'm going to use like Barnabas to bring them back once again into God's best in life. What's the reasons we have a hard time believing that God wants to take and diffuse today about giving people a second chance? What's some reasons we give? Let's write these things down. I've got four take-home points to write down quickly about what things God is saying to us this morning here. We find ourselves not reaching out to people and not believing really that God's the God of the second chance. Why is this? Number one is this word, relaxation. Relaxation. How many folks here, when you go on long trips in airplanes or cars, you bring your own pillow with you? How many of you do that? Bring your own pillow. Well, a few of you smart ones do that. Amen. Cheryl and I always bring our own pillow overseas, especially because those pillows in foreign nations mostly are this tall. They break my neck. I'm used to a flat pillow full of feathers, okay? So I pack my flat feather pillow in my overhead case, and I take and I pull that pillow out during long flights to Africa, Asia, whatever, and I get window seats. I fold that pillow in two, and I put my head against that window, and I fall asleep, sometimes 7, 8, or 9 hours going overseas. God puts me in suspended animation, just like Star Trek. Amen? I praise God for it. And I say, if I get to a foreign country, I don't want no big old thick pillow giving me a neck backache for the rest of the trip. Amen? So I bring my own pillow because that pillow brings me relaxation and it brings me comfort. Now, the Bible does not say, pick up your pillow and follow me. Amen? What's the Bible say? The Bible says, pick up your cross and follow me. The cross is not about relaxation and comfort. The cross is all about being crucified, dying to self, your flesh suffering, and going through sometimes some painful, discomforting things in your life. Okay? So, Barnabas had a strained relationship now with Paul the Apostle, and he knew by choosing John Mark, it would make Paul mad, and it did do that. And it caused Paul to say, okay, you go your way, and I'll go my way. But sometimes you must always obey what God is saying to us, even though it's going to create some uncomfortable situations in our lives, okay? So if God puts a person on your heart there, it might be uncomfortable to reach out to them, to call them, talk to them, but God is saying you must choose to go beyond your comfort level and do something that is uncomfortable, that's risky perhaps, but obey me is what God is saying. You see that? Number two is the word condemnation. Now, again, we don't like things that cause us to be uncomfortable. I want to say also one more little story here was last year, July 4th, we go to Kansas every year now, July 4th, pretty much to watch the fireworks go off there and so forth and see our friends and our family. And our friend that we stay with has got about 3 race cars. He's got a Z06 Corvette 427 with 600 horsepower. He's got a little 350Z souped-up Nissan, two-door. He's got him a souped-up, high-powered, 500 or 600 horsepower Cadillac. And so every year this politician needs to have someone help her win her election. She asks my friend Brad to bring his race cars down to the place called Derby, Kansas, a suburb of Wichita, and go in the parade on July 4th morning with signs up being, what do you call that? Advertising her candidacy for what she's doing. Well, last year, he says, Mike, would you please drive my Nissan? I'll drive my Cadillac in the parade. That is the last thing I want to do. I do not like being the center of attention. I don't like being in a parade. And so I said, okay, for your sake, to help you out, I will drive your car. And so I got my son Daniel in the right side there. Our windows are rolled down in our 350Z, whatever, Nissan there. And I'm driving through the streets of Derby with thousands of folks on both sides of the road there waving at them. Total strangers there, zigzagging my car like a dingbat. And revving the engine and so forth there. And praise God, she'll win the election. I've been told she'll win the election. This year, he asked me again. I'm sorry I said no. I said, I did my part last year. That was uncomfortable. It was awkward. And I don't need that again, okay? So he understood. But I was saying sometimes we got to do something that is going to be uncomfortable in our lives, but it can bring forth a blessing to others if we'll do that. Now let's go to next, number two, condemnation. Isn't it true that when we sin and we mess up, we want folks to respond to us the way Barnabas did to John Mark? Amen? We want that. Amen? But when other folks mess up, we want to treat them like Paul treated John Mark. We want to say, you messed up, you've done bad, it's time to cut you off. God is mad, I'm mad, go your own way. God is saying, that's not the way to do things. We should not be known for heaping up condemnation on people and pointing fingers at them. Amen? We forget sometimes, but for the grace of God, we'd be just like they are if God had not saved us, forgiven us, and delivered us from our sins years ago. Amen? We'd be just like them. And God says, don't point your finger at others. You'd be just like them, but for my grace, says the Lord. In Acts chapter 9, it says here that Paul killed Christians, or Paul approved of Christians being killed. Pretty bad pass for Paul the apostle. The Bible says Jesus saves him, calls him into ministry and training, and then Paul shows up to all the apostles, and they're very, very apprehensive about what this man's doing in our midst. They say, this guy's a killer of Jews. This guy's persecuted the church. I don't think we like him very much. Who do you think was a person who eased things over for Paul to come in and be received by the apostles? Barnabas. How quick Paul forgets what Barnabas did, what God did for him only a few years ago. Paul is so used to the bar being set so high, he doesn't even care about giving people a second chance in their lives. And I pray in my life, your lives as well, let us never find ourselves getting so pious and so full of what we think is God's anointing in our own lives, we cannot reach out to people who make mistakes in the body of Christ and go a different way. Amen? God is not a God of condemnation. God's a God of the second chance. Amen? The Bible says Moses was a murderer. David also was a murderer and adulterer. Jacob was a deceiver and liar. Gideon was a fearmonger. Samson was an avenger who wanted revenge all the time. All these great men of God, God took all their flaws, put it behind his back, and still used them mightily in their lives. And God will use you also in your life. Amen? There's people here that God wants to give you a second chance yourself. This does not mean to continue in your sin. And I want to say this again. The church is a place of grace. Some folks believe that and know that. But that does not mean it's a place where you can do what you want to do and God just winks at that and says, go ahead and sin all you want because you're covered by grace. That's not what grace is. I want to make sure I say this right. Grace gives you the power to say no to sin. Grace gives you the power to say no to sin. Not a license to sin, the power to say no to sin. Amen? Grace is there in case we mess up. It is not so we can continue to mess up. Grace is there in case we mess up. It is not there so we can mess up. We're getting a real sloppy doctrine right now across our nation that says grace covers everything, so go sin all you want. Do all your evil you want to do there because grace covers everything. No, God says you have power not to sin. You have power to say no to sin, and so don't keep on messing up there. Receive God's grace to not mess up in your life. Amen? And not mess up so much. Now, if you do mess up, praise God, God does forgive, God does cleanse, but God says don't mess up on purpose again and again and again. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We must make sure, though, we're caught up in Christ, not in sin. Did you see that? Write down number three here. It's real quiet now in this Baptist church. Okay, number three. Delegation. Number three is delegation. Wouldn't it be nice and cool if we could take and have folks go to the gym for us and work out on the weights and the bars and work out on all the machines that are there for cardio and all the treadmill and so forth and receive the benefits that they did for us in the gym? Most of us hate the gym. Most of us do not like running for 30 minutes on treadmills, cardio machines, lifting weights, pumping iron, doing sit-ups, doing pull-ups. That is not a fun thing to do. Have a big amen. But the fact is, you cannot delegate that out to other people and receive the benefits that they get from doing that. Amen? The same thing is also true in the realm of delegation in the realm of the spirits. You cannot delegate things God tells you to do to other people and let them do the work for you all the time. Pastors across America, across the world even, sometimes get a lot of flack because they say, well, you did not reach out to so-and-so. God put them on my heart, and I called you, and you were not there for them. And I say to those folks again, God told you, God put them on your heart. You were the first contact that God wanted to go to them. And then if there's time to do that beyond that, if you can't help them out yourselves, then call pastors, then call leaders. But I'm saying you are the first contact. If God puts someone on your heart, you go to them first. Unless God makes it very plain and very clear to get a Barnabas involved in their lives. Okay. Number four, last of all, write this down. The word spiritualization. Spiritualization is the fourth reason. Many believers don't believe that God's a God of the second chance and don't reach out to people who've gone off the rails. Have you ever been around people that are so spiritual that sometimes that you'll say to them, did you see that beautiful sunset over Lake Travis on the news last night? They'll say, yes, for the rising of the sun and the going down are the same. The name of the Lord is to be praised. See folks like that? I know a preacher one time went into a donut shop and they had some fresh cooked chocolate chip cookies. You could smell them wafting through the air. He walks in and says, man, this is heaven. The Christian owner says, this is not heaven. Doesn't even compare to heaven. You can't compare cookies to the glory of God and the glory of heaven. Is it not heaven? It's not heaven. You go, okay, it's hell. Praise God. I give up. You know, yes, thank God. Yes, Jesus. Help me, God. Help me, Lord. You've been around folks like that are so spiritually minded, they catch you in all the words you say and find verses or scripture or something spiritual about that, and God is saying, please come back down to earth and realize I give you practical things to do because my kingdom is 90% perspiration and 10% inspiration. Amen, says the Lord. When God puts somebody on your heart, we need to begin with prayer for them, yes. And then say, I'm now prepared to act and be the feet, the hands, the mouth for them in their lives and their dilemma in Jesus' name. How's it turn out for the guy named John Mark? The Bible says Barnabas introduces John Mark to an apostle named Peter. Peter takes John Mark under his wings. He sees the call of God, the anointing of God upon his life. They form a bond. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 13, Peter calls John Mark his son in the Lord. What that word means is, I've discipled him, I mentored him, I've now released him back into ministry once again. And as James is back to the platform to help me out at the close here, please, if I get your help here. Paul, at the very end, the good news is, finally gets it right. And Paul begins to realize, this John Mark went off the rails, deserted me way long time ago. But I've seen that he's now come back in the fold once again, and there is useful things he can do for the kingdom of God. Let's read now the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. It says here by Paul's mouth, by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, it says, be diligent to come to me quickly. Notice this, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world, has departed also for Thessalonica. Crescens has left for Galatia. Titus has left for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Notice what it says next here. Get John Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Praise God. God brings John Mark back full circle with Paul and Barnabas once again. The good news also was, even Paul and Barnabas came back together and were friends once again. God is saying to you and I, revelation equals responsibility. And if God reveals a person to you that's on your mind, your heart, it's probably God saying you're the person to reach out to them and take the time, though it might be uncomfortable, it might be something that's very, very embarrassing perhaps at first. However you left that relationship there, God is saying you be the person that initiates the conversation. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning, I'm going to ask you guys today, first of all, this question. Who popped in your mind during this message today? Did somebody pop in your mind today? Or maybe God's Spirit dealt with you and said, you're the person I'm dealing with. Your heart is not quite right. Your heart's not quite full of the fire, the zeal, the fervor, the commitment that you had in times past. And I said there are sometimes we have pressures in life from money, relationships, education, schedules. All those things sometimes diminish our devotion to God. And God is saying, the good news for me is I'm the God of the second chance. I don't reject people. I find ways to actually draw them back to myself. Because I love you. I care for you. I want the best for you. And I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But I am the God of the second chance this day. My heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning. If you're a person today who you feel or sense your heart needs to come back to God in pure devotion to Him, if you're going to give yourself now to serving Him and also serving people that God puts on your heart, would you make that today a commitment by raising one hand to God right now? If you're like that today, raise one hand to God. It's right across the whole congregation. Anybody else? I see hands over here. God bless these folks. Let's all stand to our feet now, please. I'm going to pray that these ones whose hands are raised up here again, right there in your seats, these are all born-again Christians already. I'm going to pray for these guys, first of all, and those whose hands should have been raised up as well, that God would take and deal with their hearts, put that fire back in them once again. Ask for yourself today to receive God's cleansing, God's infilling, God's lasting work in your life this day, because God will do that. Father, those whose hands are raised up, O God, today, I praise you for them, Lord, their honesty, transparency, and boldness to go out of their comfort zone, O God, and say, I am a person who wants to see, O God, my life put back on the cutting edge once again. I ask you, Lord, to sharpen the axe head of my life, my spirit. Remove, O God, those things of dross, those things of chaff, those things that weigh me down, those things that have caused my heart to become cold in some way. I praise you, God, this day you rekindle the fire back in my life and my heart once again. I receive your Holy Spirit's work in me this day. I ask you, O God, forgive me of negligence. Forgive me of sinful practice. Forgive me, O God, of receiving lies or allowing hurts or bruises to separate me from the love of Christ and the body of Christ. I say, O God, this day my heart is shored up. And I find, oh God, I'm going to find in the future, when these things come against me, I will reject them in the name of Jesus. Whether it be sin, offenses, wounds, bruises, lies, deceptions, or negligence, I will resist them in the name of Jesus from this day forth, in Jesus' name. Now, all of us, let's just raise one hand to God right now. Let's ask God to show us a person this week. Maybe more than one, that he wants to put on our hearts. We are available to them by God's Spirit. Father, right now, as our hands are raised in the air to you, Lord, we say, put people on our hearts, upon our minds, in our dreams, in our circumstances. Cause us, Lord God, to think of people that you want us to reach out to. Prodigal sons, prodigal daughters, those at a distance, broken relationships, O God, place them on our minds and our hearts and bring forth, O God, reconciliation back to us once again. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I praise you, God. I thank you, Lord, this day you accomplished this by your grace, your power, your spirit. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. There's one more little short story. I'm going to let Jeremy get the microphone in a moment here and dismiss us in prayer. Jeremy's able to be here for the first time in a long time, it seems like, in here, not children's church. His wife has gone away, but not to embarrass anybody here, but Kristen's gone, and the folks aren't in the sanctuary I'm talking about here today, but Kristen had a very, kind of a big falling away with her own best friend that went to our church here, you know, 5 years ago. Misunderstandings took place and so forth, and the details about all that. The fact was these two were friends, best friends from elementary school, had a falling away take place. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit began to take and give Cheryl a dream. about them, her talking to that person that no longer was fellowshipping with Christian any longer. At the same time, God began to deal with that person, her heart. And then all these things came together where Cheryl calls her on the telephone. And she very, very warmly welcomed the phone call and met with Cheryl, talked to Cheryl. And they said to each other, if I talk to Kristen, do you think she'll forgive? Do you think she'll be willing to listen and be in my presence once again? And she said, I'm sure Kristen will do that. And of course, long story short, they got together again, her and Kristen. They found out they only live two blocks away from each other right now in Hutto. And now she has, the other girl now has three babies, and two of them are the same age as Kristen's babies. And they now see each other about three times or four times a week once again. Because God did some miracles to bring dreams and timing and thoughts in people's minds. Reconciliation took place. And now blessings are getting released by them being back together once again. They are better together than apart. Amen? I pray that same thing takes place in your lives time and again as needed in Jesus' name. Well, praise God. You can come back Wednesday night.